Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice, Family Cosmetic and Dental Sleep Medicine, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Geno's East, Downtown Nashville, and OsteoStrong Nashville.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into the show this evening. Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth in studio with Adam Vingan of The Athletic. Adam, how we doing?
I'm good, Ryan. How are you?
Doing pretty well. We do have breaking news in the National Hockey League. Alex Pietrangelo is finalizing a deal with the Vegas Golden Knights, according to Pierre LeBrun. So what a way to start the show. One of the top free agents off the board onto Vegas.
The top free agent, in my opinion.
More than Taylor Hall?
I think so.
I would agree with that.
But the Blues went ahead on the, I believe, the first day of free agency, and signed Torrey Krug to a long-term contract. So the writing was on the wall for Alex Pietrangelo in Vegas. He went to visit Las Vegas over the weekend, and now, according to my colleague at The Athletic, Pierre LeBrun, he is off to the Vegas Golden Knights, where the rich continue to get richer.
I would say not many people...
No pun intended.
I would say... Not many people go to Vegas for a weekend and come out ahead like Pietrangelo just did.
Yeah, I'm not a betting man. I give myself a hard cap whenever I go to Las Vegas.
Okay.
In terms of I'm going to take out this much money, and I'm only going to bet this much money, and when that money is gone, I'm done.
$5 on the slots.
Penny slots, my friend.
There you go.
So $5 is too expensive for me.
So the Nashville Predators have sure been busy. Adam, you and I co-hosted this very show at this very time last Monday, and the offseason had not started just yet. That was on the eve of the NHL draft, and boy, have the Nashville Predators been busy. And we all thought this team was going to look different next season, but it already has a much different feel. Let's run through the moves just real quick. Out is Nick Bonino in a trade to Minnesota. Kyle Turris bought out. He has now signed with Edmonton. Craig Smith, a free agent, has signed with Boston. Austin Watson traded to Ottawa. And then Mikael Granlund is still a free agent, but he is not expected to return to Nashville. And then on the flip side, coming to Smashville, Luke Cunnan in the trade with Minnesota. Free agent forward Nick Cousins. As of this afternoon, free agent forward Brad Richardson, who knocked out the Preds in the qualifying round in overtime previously with the Arizona Coyotes, 1 year, $1 million, that contract signed just a little bit ago, and then defensemen Mark Borowiecki and Matt Benning. So
two smaller departures as well on the forward end. Colin Blackwell,
yes,
signed with the New York Rangers, and Daniel Carr signed with the Washington Capitals.
There you go. So a lot of new faces for this Nashville Predators team going into next season, and David Poile's work may not be done yet. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But in a snapshot, Adam, when you think of the faces and the players exiting the Nashville Predators, and you look at the players coming in, what do you see with this roster compared to what it looked like in that qualifying round against the Arizona Coyotes?
Yeah, well, first of all, it looks a lot different. There are six forwards who played at least 25 games for this team last season that are no longer on the team. And that's Colin Blackwell, Nick Bonino, Mikael Granlund, Craig Smith, Kyle Turris, and Austin Watson. And one thing is clear, based on all of the additions that the Predators have made over the past several days, that David Poile and John Hines want to toughen up this roster. You mentioned the players that have come in, Luke Cunnan, Nick Cousins, Brad Richardson, Mark Borowiecki, Matt Benning. They're all unafraid to get physical. The Predators have not been a tough team to play against in recent seasons. None of their top players are overly physical. These additions address that particular aspect. I believe that the Predators, well, I don't believe because David Poile was pretty clear about it, wanted to add a different quote-unquote element to this group. And by that, he meant abrasiveness. He wanted to add whatever adjective you'd like to use, grit, sandpaper, whatever. And that is what they have done. This is, on paper, a harder team to play against. The question now, of course, remains, are they a better team? And that still remains unanswered. But they are definitely a harder team to play against on paper.
That shouldn't get lost through this. And the defensive improvement should not get lost through this.
We were discussing this before
correct.
The show, that the Predators 1 through 6 on defense, assuming that the pairs are Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, Dante Fabro, Mark Borowiecki, and Matt Benning. That is the deepest 1 through 6 the Predators have had since they had Seth Jones as a third-pairing defenseman 5 years ago. So that is a clear improvement. 100%. It's not the sexiest improvement, but it is a clear improvement over Matt Irwin, Yannick Weber, Dan Hamhuis, Corbinian Hultzer, etc.
Jared Tinordi,
yes.
Tinordi drove me crazy in that qualifying round against Arizona, but that's neither here nor there. But when you look at the defense now, you brought it up. I was really happy to see the Preds put a lot of value in that third pair because I feel like they have not put enough value in that position on the depth chart in recent years, where they have signed veterans that were at the end of their careers or they signed veterans that just did not pan out. Who knows? Borowiecki and Benning may not pan out, but to the contracts that they signed each 2 years, Borowiecki for $2 million per, Benning for $1 million per, feel like they got pretty good value on the back end there.
I think so. I think that perhaps Borowiecki was a slight overpay. Maybe not, you know, it's not an extreme overpay. But, you know, he has made a name for himself in the NHL over the past 9-10 years by his willingness to dole out and absorb punishment. He blocks a lot of shots. He hits a lot of people, and like we said, those aren't necessarily the attributes that are going to excite Predators fans. 15 years ago, yes. Now, not so much.
Well, one thing that we rarely saw from this defense as a whole in the last couple years, especially once they traded PK Subban, was if Saros or Rinne between the pipes got a snow shower, or they got too close, or opponents got too close to one of the two Predators goaltenders, there was rarely a glove in the face or this attitude of get away from our goaltender, you know? And Borowiecki is the type of player who's going to stick up for his teammates, whether it's the goaltender or somebody else.
Right, and Benning is more of the puck-moving mold than the physical mold, but he is a bigger player, and he is willing to throw the body. So they are getting much more physical on the third pair while not necessarily sacrificing talent. You know, Jared Tinordi, as you mentioned, played a lot in the second half of the season, and I admire Jared Tinordi for getting back to the NHL after toiling in the minors for several years, but he's not an NHL player. He's a replacement-level player. But he brings an element that the top four doesn't, which is that physicality. Now you're getting that physicality in Borowiecki and, to a lesser extent, Benning, while not necessarily sacrificing the skill necessary to compete at the NHL level.
So, again, the defensive improvement that this team has made, both on the blue line and up front, should not get lost. However, the Preds have lost three of their top four goal scorers from last year's team and virtually have done nothing from an offensive standpoint to fully replace them. I mean, Luke Cunnan might have another level to his game at his age, and the fact that he just hit double-digit goals for the first time last season. He's 22 years old. But you really haven't added a goal scorer. Taylor Hall goes to Buffalo. Tyler Toffoli goes to Montreal. We'll get to it here in a few minutes, whether or not they will make another addition outside of the additions they've already made. But you're putting a lot of weight on Jofa's shoulders once again, and Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson have been injury-prone in recent years, so they don't have a lot of depth offensively. You're putting a lot of pressure on Elli Tolvanen to perform at the NHL level right away. I mean, that's the big one for me. And if they don't acquire another winger, they're also putting a lot of pressure on Matt Duchene to consistently help those those rookies or younger players or bottom six forwards that are going to be playing with him to excel. And I don't know if Duchesne's career track record is going to lend to him making his line mates better consistently throughout a season.
Yeah, that is where this conundrum is right now. Because as we said, the Predators are tougher to play against now. But I'm not convinced they are a better team right now. Look, a lot of the players that they parted with, they needed to get rid of. And they aren't going to miss a whole lot. They're not going to miss Kyle Turris. They're not going to miss Mikael Granlund, even though they are more talented than the players that they added in free agency and via trade in the case of Cunnan. But when I look at that second line, there's a pretty big hole on the left side because Elie Tolvanen played right wing for the Milwaukee Admirals. That isn't to say that he can move over to the left, but I presume if he's on the right side, there's an opening at wing. There's opening on one of the wings on the second line. And if the Predators were to have signed Taylor Hall, for example, or signed Tyler Toffoli, or signed someone like Mike Hoffman or Anthony Duclair, who are still available, you feel better about that second line because that has been a huge question mark for a long time for this group. And based on what this team has right now, that still remains a question.
How much of these moves that we've seen here in the last week now do you feel like is the influence of John Hines having a half season basically to see his team and see the performance of some of these players and, you know, basically have conversations with David Poile over the summer and now once the offseason has begun of pinpointing aspects of players that they need or certain players that they want to go out and acquire in free agency or trade?
Yeah, I think John has had a significant role in this. Of course, he is the coach after all. And last year he inherited the roster, and now he has an opportunity. He had a unique opportunity to see the roster in sort of a reset mode when they came back. Got a closer look then after having the entire pause to do some more research. And certainly one of his and David's primary objectives were to add players that are tougher to play against and are harder to play against. And, of course, you don't want to conflate harder to play against with grinders devoid of offensive talent. You know, Luke Cunnan is a 15-goal scorer, but he's a nuisance on the ice. He's harder to play against. Kyle Turris was not hard to play against. He's more talented than any of the players that we've talked about that have been added to the team. But he's not hard to play against.
You could make the same comparison between Luke Cunnan and Craig Smith, too. I mean, we all love Craig Smith. Craig Smith was not a physical player, and at times, especially in the playoffs, was not hard to play against.
Right.
So you could say the same thing there, but when you look at some of the, you know, Nick Cousins and Brad Richardson, I mean, Cousins, I think you got fair value for him. Richardson,
yes.
I don't know how much he does for me. I don't think he's really much more of a much more than a fourth line player.
He'll be their fourth line center. He'll be on the penalty kill. That's about it.
But to your point, there's a pretty massive hole on this depth chart, and David Poile has $13.6 million of cap space. So is David Poile done, or will he add even more players to this ever-changing group called the Nashville Predators? We'll get into that coming up next. He's Adam Vingan of The Athletic. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the show. Ryan Porth alongside Adam Vingan of The Athletic. Talking Preds offseason, and boy, has it been an offseason already where what was the stat that you said? Six forwards that played 25 games or more last season for the Nashville Predators have exited stage left?
Yes, that is correct.
That's a lot of forwards in one season to lose. And when you look at the depth chart, obviously you would assume that the Joffe line will remain intact going into next season, Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, and Victor Arvidsson. And the second line, Matt Duchene at center. We think Eli Tolvanen will be a part of it, especially with the way David Poile has been talking about Tolvanen ever since they got beat by Arizona. But to your point last segment, there's a pretty obvious hole in the depth chart alongside those two on the second line. And a lot of people were clamoring for Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall signed last night with the Buffalo Sabres, a head-scratcher for a lot of people. 1 year, $8 million. I think Taylor Hall is going to go there, probably light it up with Jack Eichel, and then break the bank.
It's the Eichel effect.
Next offseason.
Jeff Skinner experienced the same thing a couple of years ago.
But he stayed in Buffalo.
Yes, but he was a 40-goal scorer, then cashed in on a big deal. So if Taylor Hall can team up with Jack Eichel and return to his MVP-level statistics, then he can cash in.
So once Taylor Hall signed with the Buffalo Sabres, then people turned their attention to Mike Hoffman, Anthony Duclair, and Tyler Toffoli. And Tyler Toffoli today signed a four-year deal with the Montreal Canadiens. No thank you.
too much term?
Too much term and a little too much money. What was it, 4.25?
That sounds right.
Per year for Toffoli,
which is less than he would have gotten. Which is less than he would have gotten under normal circumstances.
Sure, you can say that about a lot of these contracts that are being signed. Craig Smith too with the Boston Bruins, 3 years, 3.1 per. So it brings up the question of: are the Preds still on the lookout for another scorer, either through free agency or trade, to put alongside Matt Duchene or Eli Tolvanen? Or are they going to go into next season with the current depth chart?
Well, they certainly have a lot of flexibility, and there are a lot of forwards who are still out on the market. We mentioned Mike Hoffman. We mentioned Anthony Duclair, who, interestingly, is representing himself in contract negotiations.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Evgeny Dadonov, also from the Florida Panthers, is available as another scoring winger.
He seems to be the forgotten man through all of this. He doesn't seem to be mentioned as much as Hoffman.
Well, he's older, which I think might have something to do with it. I mean, heck, even Mikael Granlund hasn't found a place yet.
Would you consider that?
Bringing him back?
Yes.
No. It was not a fit.
Okay.
It was not a fit for either side. I would not do it. And I'm not sure he's interested in a reunion. But when you look at this roster, like we were talking about in the first segment, if you were to just plug in Luke Cunningham and Nick Cousins and Brad Richardson and, you know, you throw Eli Tolvanen in there because we've been discussing that, and Yakov Trenin, who signed earlier in the offseason to a two-year contract, there's still a hole on the second line. Now, the hole is currently filled. It could be Colton Sissons. It could be
Luke Cunningham.
It could be one of those players. But is the second line better now than it was at the end of last season when, in the postseason, it was Matt Duchene, Kyle Turris, and Mikael Granlund?
The simple answer is no.
No. Talent-wise, simply based on natural talent.
I mean, Eli Tolvanen could come in here and score 25 goals next season for all we know.
Right.
And then we were having a different conversation about the second line.
Right. Mikael Granlund and Kyle Turris were both disappointments, and that's why they're not coming back.
Huge disappointments.
But they are better than what the Predators currently project to have on their second line. And one thing that we have learned over the past couple of years watching this team is that they cannot be a one-line team. They cannot rely on Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, and Victor Arvidsson, the version that we saw return to form in the qualifying round. They cannot rely solely on that line. And they also broke up their most impactful line during the regular season: Rocco Grimaldi, Nick Bonino, and Craig Smith, who outscored opponents at 5-on-5, 29-11 during the regular season. So that second line continues to be an issue. And I know that David Poile knows that. So I am curious to see if there is another move. They have plenty of cap space. They have more than $13.5 million in projected cap space because the moves they have made have not cost them much. Borowiecki was $2 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cousins was $1.5 million.
Benning was $1 million. Richardson was $1 million.
Right. So,
and we still don't know what Cunningham will cost
right.
because he's a restricted free
agent. But I imagine it won't be a lot.
Sure.
I imagine it will be in that range of $1 to $2 million per year.
This feels very 2013 with this offseason for the Nashville Predators when they signed Matt Cullen, Matt Hendricks, Victor Stahlberg, and Eric Nystrom all in the same offseason.
That was not a good offseason.
No. And I'm not saying that this is going to be a bad offseason.
I
but
know.
Just from the approach with them going for depth forwards in that offseason and only depth forwards – that has largely been the approach so far with the fact that they struck out on Taylor Hall.
Yeah, and look, I'm not – Taylor Hall talked today. First of all, I seemed shocked by the amount of surprise that people expressed when he signed with Buffalo. I mean, come on, Taylor. I know you're not listening to this right now. You've got more important things to do with your $8 million than to listen to us.
No, he doesn't.
Listen to us.
He is streaming on the Game Nashville app from wherever he's living right
well,
now.
If he is listening, come on, man. We've got ESPN NFL Countdown on right now. But
think of the teams that he's played for now.
Right.
Edmonton, mm-hmm. New Jersey, mm-hmm. Arizona, mm-hmm. and Buffalo.
Right. Like,
continue.
Yeah, but you know, we talked about it a little bit before that he's hoping that playing with Jack Eichel will A, boost his value, and B, return Buffalo to the postseason for the first time in a decade. But, I mean, it was believed that the Predators were interested. I am sure that they at least talked to him. I do not know if they made an offer, but Taylor Hall did say that he received multiple year offers from other teams, but decided based on the landscape because of the pandemic and other opportunities that he wanted to take a 1 year deal.
All right. So with him on a 1 year deal and knowing that there was some amount of mutual interest between the two sides, we don't know the extent. Obviously it wasn't full blown both ways because Taylor Hall is not a Nashville Predator today, but knowing that he's on a 1 year deal and will be in free agency, and knowing that you have a hole to fill on the second line, do you give Hoffman, Dadonov, or Duclair a one-year deal? They would have to obviously accept that.
Right.
But a one-year deal to at least have some better form of a scoring punch on the second line for this season and then make another run at Taylor Hall or just address it in a different way totally next offseason.
Well, I think a one-year deal would be smart because you have to also consider the expansion draft. If you sign a free agent to a one-year deal, one of those players to a one-year deal, you don't have to protect them in the expansion draft because they'll be an unrestricted free agent. And typically, the expansion teams don't go after the unrestricted free agents. Actually, I'm not sure if Duclair will be a restricted free agent when his next contract expires. But anyway, that's something you have to consider. And Taylor Hall has set the market. It was at $8 million. Tyler Toffoli comes in at 4.25.
So where do you think Hoffman comes in?
Hoffman comes in somewhere in the middle, probably. Hoffman is probably somewhere between...
North of five?
North of five, maybe six.
Would you do 1 year, $6 million for Mike Hoffman?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Okay.
I mean, because he addresses that need. You know, Mike Hoffman is a rather one-dimensional player.
I mean, last week on this program that you know what you're getting offensively out of him.
Right.
And you also know what you're getting defensively out of him.
I will say about Mike Hoffman is, I said, he's a one-dimensional player, but he's really darn good at that one dimension. So it's okay to be a one-dimensional player if you can. He's tied for 16th in the NHL in goals over the past 6 years.
He's averaged 28 goals per season over those 6 years.
He would help the power play. He would add that scoring punch to that second line. You know, there are some warts to his game, particularly on the other end of the ice, but if he's scoring 25 to 30 goals, you can live with that. So to answer your question, if I'm David Poile and I'm looking at Mike Hoffman, would I offer him a 1 year, $6 million contract? Yes, I would.
You also would not be setting up Matt Duchene for a 40-point season playing alongside Tolvanen and bottom six forward X.
And you're signing him to play with – you're signing Hoffman to play with a former linemate of his.
Sure.
Hoffman and Duchesne were linemates in Ottawa after Duchesne was traded there in 2017. So there's familiarity there. They're not going in cold. So I think Mike Hoffman should be a target for this group. I think he is.
So we name free agents. I think you could also look at the trade route as a potential for the Preds to address the second line. Who knows what they could give up in a trade that could be of value, that could fetch you a second line player.
They've already given up their best trade asset.
Sure, but you're...
Which was Nick Bonino, by the way.
Yes, you're now looking at Vegas, who just signed Pietrangelo to a 7-year deal worth close to $9 million per season. So they have cap stuff to figure out. And so do the Tampa Bay Lightning, even though they put Tyler Johnson.
I was actually just about to say, let me throw a name at you. Tyler Johnson. Would you do it? It's a long contract. He's got 4 years left. $5 million, that's too long.
No. Too long.
Yeah.
Too long. I would trade for
someone on Vegas.
Palat or Killorn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. On Tampa Bay's roster.
Killorn.
I would do that. But I would not pick up Johnson off of waivers with that contract. Coming up next, what are the Preds getting in these players individually that they have signed? We'll get Adam's quick thought on each offseason move that they've made thus far, including the 11th overall pick in last week's NHL draft. That's all coming up next. This is Preds Insiders, brought to you every Monday by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental needs, visit kellyerice.com. Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford. Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard, and Osteo Strong, Nashville. More Preds Insiders coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the show, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are family here. Adam Vingan in studio, bobbing his head. People can't see that on the radio right now, but
Thank goodness.
Jamming out in his New Orleans Pelicans hat here.
Indeed.
On ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, Adam, so the Preds, a busy offseason thus far where a ton of moves have already happened, and who knows what else David Poile has up his sleeve, if anything, this week, next week, what have you, before next season begins. And I want to run through these contracts and these trades individually, almost in rapid fire, in a rapid fire setting, and get your thoughts on the contracts and the players in particular. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the first trade that kicked everything off.
Number one,
Nick Bonino, a second and a third to Minnesota for Luke Kunin and a fourth in the draft, the day two draft day trade last Wednesday. What did you make of that trade?
I thought it was a savvy move. The Predators, as David Poile has said, they want to get younger. And I think it was important that the Predators get younger, but also while having younger players with NHL experience. We talk about Elie Tolvanen, we talk about Yakov Trenin, Rem Pitlick, possibly Philip Tomasino. They don't really have any extensive NHL experience or any NHL experience. Kunin at least has, what, 3 seasons of NHL experience, and he's still 22 years old, I believe.
He's really only played one full season, and it was this past season, where he scored 15 goals, had 31 points in 63 games with the Wild. Before that, in the 18-19 season, he played 49 games, and the season before that only played 19 was 20.
But at least he has tangible NHL experience, which I think is important. So in Kunin, the Predators are getting a solid two-way forward. My colleague in Minnesota, Michael Russo, compared him to a poor man's Ryan Kesler. I'm not sure if he was talking about Ryan Kesler in his prime or present-day Ryan Kesler, who's unhealthy. but certainly has a pedigree for success. I believe he captained a USA, the Team USA in an under, I don't know if it was the World Junior or an under 20 tournament, another under 20 tournament, was a first round draft pick a few years ago. So he has a pedigree of success. He hasn't put it all together yet in the NHL. Last season seemed to be the first step towards doing that. But he can produce big numbers, I feel like, if put in the right situation.
Cunningham was a first-round pick back in 2016. And Craig Button, I did a special edition of Preds Insiders, a podcast with Craig Button and Robbie Stanley last week. So if you missed that, you can go to wherever you get your Preds Insiders podcast and listen to that. Craig Button was very high on Cunningham, very high. Now, did you think that the Preds paid too high of a price to get him?
I thought that Nick Bonino could have gotten perhaps a more established player in return. But
plus a second and a third.
Yes.
That was the other thing. I did not love giving up the 37th overall pick in that trade.
I thought they could have gotten more from that trade than they did.
Okay.
I think that package should have fetched them, in theory, a better asset, though Cunningham, I think, is a good pickup
overall. All right. On defense, Mark Borowiecki, 2 years, $4 million. You said earlier that maybe it was a smidge high with the average annual value, but you still like the pickup.
I do, because as we discussed, he does things that the top four in the Predators defensive core doesn't do or don't do. I don't know. I lost the grammar there. But you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
That he's incredibly physical. He does the dirty work, to use the cliche. He adds that element, as to borrow David Poile's word, that Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, and Dante Fabro don't have. He starts a lot of his shifts in the defensive zone. So he and Matt Benning, presumably his defensive partner, will have a lot of defensive zone starts. But overall, a much better fifth defenseman than they were working with before they made that move.
Matt Benning, 2 years, $2
million. I think that could be a sneaky good ad. He played 4 years in Edmonton. He did not receive a qualifying offer. Dealt with some injury last season and I think in years previous as well. But a solid puck-moving, right-handed, third-pairing defenseman. Again, an upgrade at sixth defenseman than what they were working with in previous years, or what they could have been working with before they acquired him. The third pairing altogether, much better today than it was a week ago.
I saw some Oilers writers really liking that deal. This was Jonathan Willis, who covers the Edmonton Oilers up there, says that is a good contract for a quality third pair right shot defenseman.
I would agree.
So
Jonathan is very smart.
All right, back to forward. Nick Cousins, 2 years, $3 million.
He definitely brings a level of abrasiveness that no one else on the Predators roster has. I mean, does that mean that he crosses the line? I'm not sure what his disciplinary history is or anything like that. But you mentioned the lack of protection from the lack of protection of the goaltender. Nick Cousins is the kind of player who will be the first into those scrums. And he can play all three forward positions. I think he played center a lot in Montreal and played on the wing in Vegas, but he can play all three forward positions, which is good.
He played center a lot in Arizona.
Okay, sorry.
Not in Montreal or Vegas. Okay. Played the wing, mostly. Okay.
So let's rewind what I just said. Let's just bring that back the last couple of minutes. It's not live radio, right? But anyway, point being, he can play all three forward positions, and he's the agitator. He will be the agitator in this lineup on a night-to-night basis.
I feel like once Preds fans get a chance to watch Nick Cousins wearing a Predators uniform, they're really going to like the way he plays.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they've tried to have those agitators in recent years, whether it's Ryan Hartman, whether it's Wayne Simmonds to a degree, whether it's Austin Watson. But I think Nick Cousins will bring a different element to the lineup that's not currently in it.
Brad Richardson, today, 1 year, $1 million.
He's their fourth-line center. He was the Coyotes' fourth-line center. You might remember him from such goals as the overtime winner in Game 4 that eliminated the Predators from the qualifying round of the Edmonton bubble.
It is the only goal I can ever remember from Brad Richardson.
He had a four-goal game once, I think.
Did he really?
Yes. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, but he did have a four-goal game.
He has 106 career goals, and you're telling me four of them came in one game?
Eric Nystrom had
a
four-goal game.
He's played for 15 years. Well, Eric Nystrom was at least more of a threat offensively than Brad Richardson.
Goal. You're not hiring Brad Richardson to be a goal scorer. That's not his job. He had 11 points last season, but he'll be your fourth line center. He can be a solid defensive forward. He's physical. He's good on faceoffs. You know, he's your typical fourth line guy. You know, that's what he is. Mm-hmm. Whatever description you would have of, if you were to ask me, how would you describe a typical fourth line center in the NHL? I would just basically describe Brad Richardson.
So Brad Richardson has won 53.7% of his faceoffs in the last 5 years. So with the Arizona Coyotes, every season he finished higher than 50% on draws, which as a fourth line center is...
And he won a Stanley Cup one time with the Kings, but it was like 10 years ago.
Well, you can never have enough Stanley Cup experience.
No, especially because they traded Nick Bonino.
All right, now let's get to the juicy draft pick.
Ooh.
From last Tuesday night. Yaroslav Askarov, 11th overall pick. Now, last Monday, it was in this very segment, in the third segment of the show, where we discussed the draft, and you made a strong case for the Preds to draft Askarov.
And they listened.
I'm sure they listened and said, you know what? Adam Vingan said to draft him. We're going to draft him. But
yeah.
Askarov, the Russian goaltender, coming to the Nashville Predators, what did you make of that pick?
I loved it. I really did. I think it was the right thing to do. Just how, based on how the draft board was shaking out, I did not see a forward available at 11 that was clearly better than what Askarov, I have to learn that, will provide down the road, potentially. I mean, I trust the draft experts in these cases because I've clearly not watched Askarov regularly at The Athletic. I trust my colleagues, Corey Promen and Scott Wheeler. I trust people like Craig Button. They all praised the heck out of him.
I mean, Craig Button said...
Craig Button was screaming at the television during the first round of the draft. He truly was.
It was the best pick ever. I mean, that was basically what Craig Button was saying.
Screaming at the television.
Compares him to Carey Price. Craig Button came on Preds Insider's podcast last week. And so I tweeted out the night of the draft. First of all, I've never watched Yaroslav Askarov play goal. So I'm not one to sit here and say this was a great pick or a bad pick. But just in general, goaltenders in the first round have not panned out in the last decade. So I brought that up with Craig Button.
Did he yell at you?
He almost did. Actually, he almost did. He said, having that thought, whether you're a fan or within an NHL front office, and using that as a reason to not draft a goalie in the first round is a cop-out answer.
Ooh.
In Craig Button's words. He is that high on Askarov and thinks he's going to be a franchise goaltender.
Also, I would like to just make note as we're discussing the additions that I guess the Predators can technically thank Brad Richardson for Yaroslav Askarov because his goal eliminated them and allowed them into the lottery.
Look at you connecting all those dots.
Ta-da!
And Brad Richardson will not be with Nashville by the time Askarov arrives here.
Presumably.
One would think.
One would think, but... I've been wrong before.
All right, so we just went through all the offseason additions. Which offseason loss will be the most impactful? And Adam has a very adamant, see what I did there, answer on this question. Which offseason loss will be the most impactful for the Preds in the coming years? That's coming up next on Preds Insiders. I'm Ryan Porth. He's Adam Vingan of The Athletic. It is ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in, Ryan Porth alongside Adam Vingan of The Athletic, breaking down the Preds offseason to this point. It has been a very busy week. Coming up at the top of the hour, it will be the Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. He'll be joined by Derek Mason, Stephanie White, Jerry Stackhouse, a very head coach-laden version of the Commodore Hour. That is on 102.5 at 7. On 94.9, on ESPN 94.9 at 7, it will be Braves-Dodgers Game 1. Of the NLCS, so get excited about that. Now, Adam, last segment we went through all of the additions that the Predators made so far to this point in the offseason. Looking at the subtraction point of view, which offseason loss do you think is going to be the most impactful to this roster?
Craig Smith.
Why?
You said I was adamant, and I just waited until you finished to answer that question.
You were adamant.
Yes. before the show, I told you what I was going to say.
Yes.
It's going to be Craig Smith because I think when you look at his underlying numbers, when you look at his ability to create scoring chances, high quality scoring chances, his ability to drive play, possession, whatever you want to call it, they're all incredibly high. Now, of course, Craig Smith isn't the best finisher with all of those chances, and he did not perform particularly well in the playoffs during his Predators career.
Ever.
But I thought that before free agency really got into full swing after the season ended, I thought there might be a chance he could come back because he provides that buffer for those younger players. For example, if Elli Tolvanen were to struggle on the second line, Craig Smith can easily play on that line and give you most of what you're looking for. But he wanted a 3-year deal. That was the goal in free agency. The Predators, to my understanding, never offered him a 3-year contract. He got it with Boston. I think it's a great fit. I think he'll be a third line guy on that team. I'm not sure who exactly his line mates will be, but
probably Charlie Coyle.
Yeah.
Anders Bjork.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be Boston's third line, which is pretty stinking solid.
He you know, Craig Smith, a guy named Craig Smith seems to fit perfectly in Boston, you know, more so than in Nashville maybe. But I think that that was a really good move by Boston, and I think he will clearly be the player the Predators most miss.
I would probably agree with you to the point, or for the simple fact of the Preds have not replaced him this offseason. I mean,
no.
Luke Cunningham
is the closest thing.
Might replace the production, but they haven't replaced Craig Smith yet. Nick Bonino, I would say, was a more valuable player in a Preds uniform than Craig Smith was, especially last season when Nick Bonino had his best season with the Nashville Predators. But between Cunningham and Cousins and Richardson, I feel like you've pretty much replaced Nick Bonino.
Yeah.
But they haven't totally replaced Craig Smith, unless you're looking at Elli Tolvanen to be that guy to replace him.
And there's no proof of concept.
Exactly. All right. Yes. So what did you make of Kyle Turris going to Edmonton, 2 years, less than $4 million total?
I think that's also a good move for Kyle. He'll be the third line center, playing behind Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. There are worse things in life as an NHL player.
Which begs the question, okay, if the Preds were going to trade Bonino, and I'm not advocating for this because I have been advocating for a long time for the Preds to find a way to get rid of Kyle Turris, but if he's going to play third line center to Edmonton, why couldn't he play third line center in Nashville with Bonino out of the picture?
I think it has to do with the talent above him on both rosters. Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene are not Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
Of course. But the third line, the cliche third line is a...
Also, he's playing third line in Edmonton for less than $2 million per season versus $6 million in Nashville. There's your answer.
Fair point. Did you ever buy what Elliot Friedman was putting out there after the Preds bought him out, where Elliot Friedman floated out there that the Preds might bring back Turris at a cheaper number?
You know, I heard that. Like, I heard Elliot say that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to put words in Elliot's mouth. I wonder if he misspoke. It just didn't seem...
Did not make sense.
It did not make sense. Well, one thing I had to make sure when I heard it for the first time is that players who are bought out can be re-signed. Like, when there were compliance buyouts after the last lockout, when teams could buy out players and not have to hold on to a cap hit, they weren't allowed to re-sign with the team that bought them out for a full year. I don't believe that is the case under normal buyouts. So technically the Predators could do that, but it wouldn't have made sense. He was not a fit, and he still wouldn't have been a fit if he was cheaper.
All right, 30 seconds or less. Which offseason addition will be the most impactful player for the Preds next season?
I think it's going to be Mark Borowiecki, because I think that is a significant upgrade at 5D. It would have been Jared Tenorti. Now it's Mark Borowiecki. He's not going to put up a lot of offensive numbers, but he's going to make a huge difference on the back end.
Is he going to score more goals in a Preds uniform than Dan Hamhuis?
Yes.
In Hamhuis' second tenure?
Yes, which was zero.
Yes.
So, yes, I do. He's an upgrade over Dan Ham Hughes. He's an upgrade over Jared Tenorti.
All right, last thing I'll say about these guys. I know I've been critical of guys like Craig Smith and Kyle Turris, Nick Bonino to an extent. You know, Austin Watson gets traded over the weekend. Those guys were total pros to deal with from a media perspective. And, you know, wish them all the best in their new destinations.
Yes, I agree.
So we'll see how all of that pans out. And we are just about out of time. Adam, what deal that has been signed in the last few days has stood out as being the best addition in free agency?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think Alex Petrangelo going to Vegas is pretty good, but they're going to have to make a corresponding move. I liked Torrey Crew going to St. Louis. I thought that was a good deal just based on what he could provide for that team. I don't have the
whole list. And they're paying $2 million less to have Krug versus what Petrangelo signed for.
Petrangelo is a better all-around defenseman
than
Krug. But Krug is a really savvy, smart, offensive-minded player and can really help a power play.
Sure.
So I think the Blues actually did okay. I mean, if you're going to not have Alex Petrangelo, Torrey Krug is not a bad plan B.
I also like what Winnipeg did getting Stastny back.
That's smart, too.
Adam Vingan of The Athletic, thank you as always.
My pleasure.
For Adam Vingan, I'm Ryan Port. That's it for Preds Insiders. Coming up next, it is the Commodore Hour right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.